Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And good day to you, Brevard County. We want to thank you for tuning in to the Refresh radio program today, Monday, May the 11th, 2020. And we pray that each and every day you are getting a little bit closer back to normal and stuff like that. And so we want to say thank you today to the folks of JITS Concrete. I know they'll be glad when things get back to normal. 321-536-5804. If you need any block or concrete work, you can give them a call. 321-536-5804. Decades and decades. When I'm talking about decades, I'm talking about just one of the people involved in the business probably has between 4 and 5 decades, maybe more, maybe 5 to 6 decades in the concrete. Another one's probably in that 3 to 4 range, and I don't know about all of the others, but they have lots and lots of experience. You know, when you deal with something every day, you're going to understand how to do that a whole lot better than a person who just does it every once in a while. And so I want to encourage you, give the folks at JITS Concrete, 321-536-5804, a call. If you've got a block or concrete job that you need done, have them come out. They will get you fixed up, and you will be glad that you use them. So we are here on WMIE 91.5, Today's Modern Worship. My name's Bob Arthurs. I pastor Merritt Assembly of God, and we are moving forward in this season of time that we're in, and we're looking to have the end of the year be our best that we've ever been facility-wise, ministry-wise. We are looking to advance during this season, and we pray that you are as well. I want to let you know, if you have a prayer request or a praise report, you can email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com, merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We will pray for those requests. We get prayer requests on Facebook Messenger via our church webpage. I get a number of requests on there, and if we can stand in faith with you, we will be more than glad to do that. So we are in Proverbs chapter 6 right now. Proverbs chapter 6. And we are going through this chapter because in this chapter, it's an encouragement from Solomon to his son that says, deliver yourself like a gazelle from the hand of the hunter and like a bird from the hand of the fowler. That is in verse number 5. Then we carried on, and you and I have the power to deliver ourselves from being a sloth, or a spirit of poverty. And so you can read that in verses 6 through 11. Today, I want to begin with verse number 12. We're going to go 12 through 15. And it says, a worthless person, a wicked man, walks with a perverse mouth. He winks with his eye. He shuffles his feet. He points with his fingers. Perversity is in his heart. He devises evil continually. He sows discord. Therefore, his calamity shall come suddenly. Suddenly, he shall be broken without remedy. Now, I will tell you that Solomon was a firsthand witness to this aspect of life as well. He had seen Absalom, his brother, as he operated in his life, and so we'll talk a little bit more about that in just a moment. But this passage, verses 12 through 15, talks about that we have the ability to deliver ourselves from worthlessness. We have the ability to deliver ourselves from worthlessness. And New King James Version says a worthless person. There, the definition of that I looked up in my research is it is a person without worth, without use, or without profit. Okay? And so a lot of times people will make declarations about other people that they are worthless. Now, I will tell you that you were not created to be worthless. You were created on purpose for God's purpose. And we need to help people to discover what that purpose is so that they can thrive in their activity. But if we reject that, if we reject the divine purpose that we were created for such a time as this, just the same way as Esther was, that the thing that made Elijah special wasn't, you know, the time that he was born. It was the fact that he was obedient to the purpose that God had raised him up for, and that he called Israel back into relationship with God. It says in the book of James that he was a man just like we are, and the prayers of a righteous man avail much. So we need to find out that point where we are going to be profitable. Another translation said a bad or an evil person or a wicked person. I'm not going to talk about the wicked aspect because that's in the second adjective description of this person here in just a moment. But I remember whenever I read the word worthless, there are two stories that come to mind. One is the pastor that I worked for who told me that I was worthless and I would never amount to anything in the ministry. And whenever you hear words like that, they can be quite impactful. So we need to make sure that the declaration that we are speaking over people is not that they are worthless. We need to be praying for them that they would discover that in Jesus Christ, they are priceless. Because it is the value of something is not the value that someone is asking for on an item. The value of the item is in how much someone is willing to pay for the item. And for you and I, Jesus Christ was willing to pay with his life, to pay with his blood, to go to the cross, to die, rise from the dead, and ascend to the right hand of the Father. There is no greater price that could ever be paid. All of the trillions of dollars in the world cannot compare to how much Jesus was willing to pay for you. And you hear stories all of the time about a person who goes to a flea market, a yard sale, a garage sale, and the person who is selling this worthless item doesn't realize the priceless artifact that they have, and they sell for a small amount of money this item that is actually worth a great deal of money. And it's just because of a lack of information. And so here Solomon writes, and he describes this person as a worthless person. Now, I had a staff person that worked for me, and I remember a service where she got up and she said, "Look, when you live or when you are raised in an addict's household," I don't remember if it was alcohol. I think it was. It might have been drugs, but I think it was alcohol. That whenever you live in an addict's household, you discover that you are worthless. Not that you don't have any worth, but you are worth less than the thing that that person would rather spend their money and their time and their presence involved in. And so those are the two things that I would try, or whenever I see that word worthless, that I automatically go to. I will tell you that we live in a day and time where society is trying their best to get people to embrace the mindset that human beings are nothing more than a cosmic accident, that we are just a part of the animal kingdom. There is nothing special or distinctive about us. And so we don't really have any eternal value. It's just you live this life and you're gone. I will tell you that if anything has disproven the authenticity of that argument, it is this pandemic that we have gone through. Because if all it is this life and no more, and the pandemic, you know, that there's nothing after this, then there shouldn't be any fear of dying on the part of these people, because after all, you know, it was something beyond their control that brought them into existence, and something beyond their control that would take them out of existence. I'm here to tell you the reason that we push so hard for healing is because you and I were created by God to live. We were created on purpose, intentionally. We were created for His purpose. We have value. There are people that you can touch that no one else can touch. And so that's why, you know, you will do whatever you can do economically. You will do whatever you can do intellectually, whatever you can do network-wise, whatever you can do as far as occupationally. You will do all of that because you want to help someone to live. You want to help them to recover. Now, there's one other aspect about this passage that I want to talk. This is a conversation between a father and his son. And I get the sense in reading this chapter that he is trying to get his son to realize that there is more than just sitting around the palace playing video games all day. There's more than just sitting around and binge watching. There are things that need to get done. And there is a sense of fulfillment that those who work hard for a living understand, that those who do not embrace the purpose that God has for them, that they don't quite grasp yet. As a pastor, I don't always get to see instant gratification or return on my labor. Sometimes a word that is sown into someone's life, it may take years before that comes to pass. I've had some conversations with people, and they said, you know, this word that you preached here, that was a transformative message for me. And I was like, really? I had no idea. We don't get that instant visual or verbal feedback from people. You have to see it manifest over time. But I will tell you that it is refreshing when you hear, you know, you shared something with me, and I might not even remember proclaiming it. I'm not doubting that I did, but people that say, you know, this is what you shared with me, and it meant the world to me. It changed my life. I remember doing a funeral one time, and a person said, how I knew that Pastor Bob really cared, and then they described something that I did, and I didn't remember doing it. It wasn't because I was saying, you know, I bet if I do this, this will really tell somebody how much they mean to me. It wasn't that at all. It was just something that was like second nature to me. It just was a benefit to them. And when they saw that done, they knew that they that it was not useless or worthless relationship. It meant that, in my opinion, they had worth to me. So it is without worth or without use or without profit. There's some things that show up every once in a while on Facebook, and then people do things like this on some radio programs or TV programs where they bring out something and said, does anyone know what this is and what it is for? So another definition of a worthless person that you and I can deliver ourselves from is without use. Now, there were some things that were invented that at one point in time, they were very useful. Okay? My dad has a tool that was invented by his brother-in-law that was very useful. But that was, I think, probably 20 years ago. Now, you know, for a small job, it still has use. My dad had some work done on his property here a year or so ago. And when it came time that tool that my uncle had invented would have been very helpful, he called somebody else in to come and do the job. And it wasn't because my dad couldn't have done it. He could have. But there had been some advancements in technology, and they now had the ability to do much quicker with this new setup the things that my dad needed done than what the old tool would do. That old tool is now pretty much useless. We need to say, you know what, God, how can I be useful to the kingdom of God? What is my purpose? What can I accomplish? God, I don't want to be a useless person. The third thing is without profit. Without profit. A lot of people come in and they say, well, you know, just as long as my needs get met, that's okay. Listen, employers don't hire you to do a job just so that they have some place to spend money. I know that's a radical concept. They hire you to do a job, and they are willing to pay you a salary so that you can in turn help them to make money. It is a profitable situation. So Jesus told the disciples, it is expedient for you, or it is profitable for you, that I go to the Father. Because if I don't go to the Father, he's not going to send the Holy Spirit, and that would not be profitable for you. We need to realize that we are saved, that we have a reason for our existence. If there was no reason, then God could just, you know, take us to heaven just as soon as we gave our heart to Jesus. The biggest sobering reality in Christianity is that the majority of Christians will never, ever lead one single solitary person into a relationship with Jesus Christ. Look, Jesus gave a parable of a landowner who had a tree, and he came to the tree and there was no fruit, and he came again the next year and there was no fruit, and he came again the third year and there was no fruit. And he said to the steward of the land, he said, cut that tree down, get it out of the ground. He said, it's not bearing any fruit. It is not profitable. Why does it cumber the ground if it's not going to be profitable? In the parable of the talents, the guy with 10 talents produced 10. The guy with 5 produced 5. The guy with 1 didn't produce anything. He went and buried it in the ground. In the other time that it's mentioned. Five produced five. I think it was three produced three. Might have been two produced two. I'm not real sure right at the moment. And the one went and buried it in the ground. And in both of those cases, it was the servants that were fruitful were declared faithful. And the one who just went and buried it in the ground and said, this is what I was given and this is what I'm going to return, he was declared wicked and did not get to enter into the joy of his master's rest. Instead, he was cast out into utter darkness. God wants us to be profitable for the kingdom of God. Now, the reason that this speaks to me, this passage, a worthless person, a wicked man. And by the way, that word wicked means evil or wicked. It is the word Aven. So if you see the term Beth Aven, A-V-E-N, that literally means the house of wickedness. You don't want that to be the title of your house. You don't want that to be any designation that you have for yourself. So we're going to look at this here just a minute from that, my son, you know, he says, my son in verse 1 of chapter 6, and he says, my son, again in verse number 20 of chapter 6, this is, and again in verse 1 of chapter 7. So we are, you know, like I said last week, we are eavesdropping by the Holy Spirit's help on a conversation between a father and a son. And he was saying, son, just because you you share some of my DNA does not mean that you're automatically going to be profitable. It doesn't mean that you're automatically going to be useful. And it doesn't automatically mean that you're going to have great worth. I had a situation in my retail career where I was waiting on the store manager's daughter, and the grandmother was in there. And whenever I was dealing with a situation like that, I would go to my salespeople and I would say, let me take care of this situation. Not because you can't, just let me deal with this on a management level, because that was the way that I was trained. I was waiting on Mr. Dillard of Dillard's Department Stores very early in my career. And it was the grand opening of the store, and the president of the company that I was working for came to me and he said, okay, let me deal with this. And I said, yes, sir. Okay. So this was not Mr. Dillard's grandkids or anything like that. That was just the way that situation worked. And the funny thing about the story with Mr. Dillard is he had to ask his wife. He was worth millions and millions of dollars. He had to ask his wife for the credit card. That was absolutely hilarious. The situation that I was telling you about, there's this little girl, she's 4 or 5, and she walks in, or they're sitting there, and I began to measure her feet and all of this sort of stuff. It was a family shoe store inside a department store. And the little girl, who is 4 or 5, says, you had better treat me right or my daddy will fire you. And I was like, whoa, there is a young lady who understands that she has inherited value simply because of her birthright. And so her grandmother was like, can't believe that you just said that. But I didn't say anything to her, but her grandmother sure did. There are some people who will change their theology because of the lifestyle that their kids lead. You know, they'll be against drugs, and then all of a sudden one of their kids becomes involved in drugs, and all of a sudden they're going to change their theology. There are people who do that when it comes to their identity and stuff like that. I want to tell you that a loving, compassionate parent doesn't change their beliefs to fit their family. They confront their family with the truth so that their family can change, so that they can recognize their great worth, their great usefulness, and that they are beneficial to society. Solomon understood that he needed to govern from a perspective where he was going to benefit the people, not that they were going to benefit him. Okay? Solomon had people coming from all over the globe to sit at his feet. They came to hear his wisdom. He was one of the most powerful kings on the planet at that time. His father had set him up for a peaceful reign. And every time that someone showed up, they showed up bearing gifts. Now, if you read how much food was required to provide for the household of Solomon, you will see that it was a huge tax. And so each one of the tribes provided 1 month out of the year for all of the food that the household of Solomon was going to require. Well, that only works if you are providing benefit, if you are bringing peace, if you are working for the good of your constituents. And so I want to encourage you to, when it comes to your belief system, say, you know what, if my son or my daughter needs to have a conversation with me where I encourage them that it is time to transform from thinking and acting like a child to thinking and acting like an adult, that we're going to have that conversation. A lot of times we want to procrastinate the developmental process way, way too long. We refer to people now as kids that used to be referred to as adults. I was already in the ministry, and now we are still calling people that same age kids. We need to bring about a change in that situation. We need to encourage people, hey, to make the most out of your life, to really fully appreciate the life that God has given you, you need to discover your worth. You need to discover what God has placed you for, how you can be of benefit to society, and that you need to embrace holiness and not wickedness. I pray that you and I will be known as people of holiness, not wickedness. God bless you. You have a marvelous, marvelous Monday. We'll see you tomorrow right here on the Refresh Radio Program.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.